Welcome to the Shanaplan podcast, brought to you by the Niners Nation Podcast Network. I am Akash Anavarathan. I am joined by our producer today, Rob Guerrera, aka Stats on Fire. How are you doing, Rob?
What's up, Akash? Thanks for having me in.
Yeah, appreciate you for coming on. Rob is usually the silent listener on when Kyle and I record these podcasts, and he's throwing in comments, he's making faces as we're giving out our hot takes. But today he has joined again with the post-draft episode. So thankfully, the NFL draft is over. It's behind us. We're here to recap it. We're here to talk about Jimmy Garoppolo, Trey Lance. We're going to talk about Michael Lombardi's comments. We're going to talk about some comments that Jimmy Garoppolo made in a radio interview earlier today. We're going to hit on all those things today. But first, we want to talk about the Niners Nation Hot Take Hotline. So this is a number that you can call into and just drop us your hot takes, and we'll listen to them. We'll play them on the podcast, and we'll talk about them. So if you want to do that, make sure you call 415-409-8220. Give us your hottest takes possible. Don't save them for Twitter. Throw them to these hotlines, and we will listen, play them on the podcast. And I think Rob has one for us here right now.
Yeah, hey, this is Ron. I'm going to tell you what, how I'm feeling. Ecstatic. Relieved. I was so sweating. I can't believe it. First time in my life watching a draft that my stomach was flipping because I was just waiting on McCorkle Jones to come our way. And when it didn't happen that way, holy, it was like the amazing, you know, bomb lifted off my chest. So I'm thrilled that they've wanted this guy since January. It's awesome. Great. It's always great to be a Niner fan, but especially now. Go Niners.
So, first of all, I appreciate this fan for dropping in their hot take and their comments post-draft. And I think this is the general mood or sentiment among a lot of 49ers fans. They were really nervous going into the draft that it would be Mac Jones, the Alabama quarterback, who is now with the Patriots. If you looked at my mentions, my comments, my DMs, everyone was asking, is it going to be Mac Jones? Is it going to be Mac Jones? Who's it going to be? And I think the consensus was they'd be okay as long as it was Trey Lance or Justin Fields. And come Thursday night, the 49ers picked Trey Lance, the North Dakota State quarterback. Rob, what did you think about the pick? We were on a live stream together. You looked hyped. What do you think about it now that it's been 5 days?
The more of like further away I get from the idea that it's not Justin Fields, who was what I kind of wanted, the better I feel about it. Like the more I actually hear about Lance and go back and watch Lance, I'm getting more and more excited for it. And yeah, he doesn't run a 4.3 like Justin Fields or a 4.4, but he's still super fast. And I'm just kind of excited to see how happy Kyle Shanahan was. Like that, Kyle Shanahan was aging like a president in 2020. And now he's reborn. He's like a phoenix. He can't wait to get on the field again.
One of the important parts, you know, during this quarterback evaluation process that we learned is what Kyle Shanahan really values in a quarterback. And I know for the people that have been listening to the Shanaplan podcast, hopefully you have, subscribe, rate, and review. We've been talking about Justin Fields as the guy we thought Kyle Shanahan would really fall in love with, primarily due to his accuracy. We thought Fields could just get the ball to wherever Kyle wanted, and that was an area that Trey Lance just struggled in. Yet, when you listen to Kyle speak, whether it was, you know, during the draft or post-draft, he spoke about how natural of a thrower Trey Lance is, how comfortable he looked, how efficient in the quick game he is, and then the things that you and I couldn't see, which is how intelligent of a human he is. And Adam Schefter reported it. He scored off the charts on some psychological tests. He impressed the 49ers coaching staff, scouts, brass, with just his, you know, processing, his ability to operate the offense, and just understand, you know, what he did at North Dakota State. And I think that was sort of a separating factor during this evaluation process, and things that guys like you and I who just watch film don't necessarily have, you know, a window into. So we're just betting on the fact that Trey Lance is this prodigy at quarterback and that he has the mental wherewithal as quote unquote the smartest quarterback in this class to be able to elevate Kyle Shanahan's offense and be a future superstar with this team.
Niner Nate said on his show yesterday that supposedly after the second pro day, Kyle or somebody with the Niners gave Lance part of the playbook and told him to memorize it. And, you know, they said, like, get back to us, you know, when you have this thing memorized. And they were expecting it to take like a week or close to it. And he called back a couple days later and was like, hey, I've got it down. Do you have anything else for me? And apparently that really impressed the 49ers. I mean, you know, I don't know if they quizzed him on that or anything, but I mean, you know, if that's true, that's going to be a massive, massive asset, Akash, because all we keep hearing about is how complicated the Niners playbook is.
Yeah, and that kind of segues into our next thought here, just about the readiness of said rookie quarterback and how Trey Lance is going to develop. And I feel like a lot of people are talking out of two sides of their mouth, right? On one hand, you have the people that say Trey Lance is 20. Or he's about to turn 21 this week. Hope he has a fun week. the fact that he's only played one college season, has only thrown 288 passes, and that was, you know, 2 years ago, and say that, yeah, he needs some time to develop. And then there's the other side where they say, wow, he's the smartest quarterback in this class. He operated a pro-style offense. He made checks at the line of scrimmage. He changed protections. He changed plays, which is true. He did. And then they say, yeah, but he still needs to sit. And so I feel like people are kind of saying both sides of the argument. Yet, if you just follow the 49ers' actions, this offseason, they were okay with trading Jimmy Garoppolo. They were completely all right with letting him go, replacing him with an Andy Dalton or Mitch Trubisky or Joe Flacco, guys that they had in the building ready to sign as potential bridge slash backup quarterbacks. And the whole time they had banked on Trey Lance being the guy at three, right? So that tells me that Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch feel confident that Trey Lance at some point during the season, early in the season, is going to be ready to take over this team. And now that they have Jimmy Garoppolo on the team, because, you know, they couldn't move him during the draft weekend, some potential suitors, you know, closed up, whatever. And now you have a good problem on your hands. And of course, you're going to have to play the political game a little bit. But just judging on their actions during, you know, this winter free agency process, it tells me that they thought Trey Lance was going to be ready to play early in the season. What do you think?
Yeah, I think every good thing that they say about Jimmy Garoppolo is all to try and preserve and inflate his trade value. They're never going to say anything bad about him. If they come out and say, yeah, we're going with Lance, like, that just sends a huge signal to everybody that, you know, not to offer anything close to what they might get for Jimmy Garoppolo, because he's not going to play anyway. So anything good they say about him, they're trying to preserve the trade value to me. The stuff about Lance, I have two thoughts on that. Number one, I keep hearing about how few passes he threw, but like, what is the minimum number of passes that, like, if he threw 50 more passes, would you be comfortable with how many, you know, like, people keep bringing that up, but I don't understand, like, the logic. It was enough for Kyle. He seemed to have enough good plays, so that's fine. And the second thing is, what does Lance gain out of sitting? If the best thing about Lance is that he's very intelligent and he picks things up really well and he processes things well, aren't those all the things that get improved by sitting? To me, what he needs to improve is he needs actual reps, and the only way to get those is to be the starter, to take all the practice reps, and to get out on the field.
Yeah, I think ideally the 49ers wouldn't want to deal with the situation where they've got Garoppolo and Lance on the roster. They've got this delicate thing to balance where they've got a playoff-ready roster, and they've got a starting quarterback who they've won with in the past. And yet they've got this rookie quarterback that they spent all this draft capital for that they're trying to develop at the same time. And that's a really, really hard thing to do. And that's going to be Kyle Shanahan's next challenge, is how do you put in the proper resources to develop Trey Lance, whether it's the mental side of his game, whether it's his consistent mechanics or whatever, while also making sure that Jimmy Garoppolo is staying up and ready, because he's the one that's supposedly going to be playing these games, right? Games that these guys need to win just based on what's on the line this season. So it's a tough, tough balance. And I think that's why the 49ers were hoping that they could move Jimmy Garoppolo in the offseason at some point so that they can just start fresh. They have a bridge quarterback who knows exactly what his role is, which is you're going to play X amount of games until Trey Lance is ready. And when he's ready, he's in. And it's his team from this point on. And now we've got this weird, like, delicate line that everyone kind of has to walk. And every time Jimmy Garoppolo throws a pick, you know, fans are going to be booing and calling for Trey Lance. And every time he has a bad game, he's going to get asked about it by the media about, oh, like, do you worry about your job security? Has Kyle said anything? Like, how do people feel in the locker room? And it's just this kind of cloud over the team that I think is, yes, it's a good problem to have if you guys are winning and the team is successful. But as soon as it turns a little negative, then it can snowball out of control, in my opinion. And that's why I think the 49ers are still holding out hope that over this training camp preseason process, they can still hopefully move Jimmy Garoppolo to another team. Maybe a starter gets hurt or something like that. And they can just turn this team over to Trey Lance and somebody else.
I don't think that this is a quote unquote good problem to have. I don't think there are any good problems. That's why they're problems. And you laid it out pretty handily, Akash. If Jimmy's the starter and he struggles, people are going to be asking him about Lance. Other guys are going to get asked about Lance. But let's say that Kyle gives the job to Trey Lance out of the gate and Lance struggles. Well, guess what? Lance is going to get asked about Garoppolo. And the other guys are going to get asked, hey, should Jimmy play? And other guys in the locker room are going to think, hey, we won a lot of games with Jimmy Garoppolo. Why isn't this guy playing? This is our Super Bowl shot. Like, nothing good comes out of this. Get rid of Jimmy. He cannot be here. There is nothing good that comes from that situation. If you got to cut him, cut him. But get rid of him. It's bad juju. You don't want to start Trey Lance's career like this.
Trey Lance wasn't the only pick on Thursday night. I know we love talking about Trey Lance, and that's really the most important pick that the 49ers have made in the Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch era, but there were other guys that also got drafted. So let's hit on those guys. Rob, what were your favorite picks of the weekend outside of that quarterback?
I really like the Trey Sermon pick because to me it showed that Kyle Shanahan does not have like a type. He doesn't only look for one kind of player at every position and always draft that guy. Sermon's not a burner. He's not a Raheem Mostert type of guy. He's a guy that reads the blocks, gets the yards that are there, can break some tackles, and he works that way. And I just like that because I feel like it gives the Niners some flexibility with their roster, and it just shows that Kyle is not only having tunnel vision for one type of guy.
I'd say my favorite pick of the weekend is the other running back, Elijah Mitchell. And when I was looking at sleeper running backs who would go kind of that day three, rounds 5 through 7 spot, Mitchell was a name that popped up, and it was primarily because of his 4.33 speed. And obviously with the pro days, those numbers are a little inflated. I'm sure that's not his actual 40-yard dash time, right? Because it's not like the electronic times that you usually run at the combine. And obviously not every player is going through pro days and running 40-yard dashes. So we don't have a full data set to choose from. But I think Elijah Mitchell was like top 5 in the country among all offensive skill position players in the 40-yard dash. So clearly speed is a priority to Bobby Turner and Kyle Shanahan. And Elijah Mitchell brings that. And when I watched him, or when I watched his YouTube highlights, I should say, he was the one cut and go guy, north and south. He hits the hole and he's gone. And I think they're going to love that. And now they've got a crowded running back room. They've got, I think, 7 guys right now on the roster, 7 guys, you know, who are running backs on the roster. And I'm assuming some moves are coming, whether they'll trade one of those guys, whether they'll cut some of the younger guys from last year. But typically they like to carry 4 names. Which names do you think are the odd ones out there? I know it's early, but still.
I think Jeff Wilson is going to be out. I think Sermon could be RB2. That was something that Leo Luna brought up in the podcast yesterday, and I kind of agree with him. Like, what does Wilson bring that he would be like that? You just pencil him in for that spot, no questions asked. To me, I could easily see Trey Sermon fitting in there. Honestly, like, I think this is the last year for Raheem Mostert in San Francisco, I think they kind of set the stage for, all right, next year it's going to be Sermon, it's going to be Elijah, and maybe, you know, like Jamichael Hasty or whoever, if they're here. I think Sermon could go as high as RB2 this year. What about you?
Yeah, I would just say the guys that are on the outside looking in are Jamichael Hasty and Austin Walter right off the bat, just because those guys haven't shown much, and I think Hasty was hurt end of last season, and I would just let Mitchell and Sermon go from the get-go. I do like your Trey Sermon, Jeff Wilson kind of comp, though. I think where the 49ers struggled in the run game a lot last year was in those like 3rd and 3, 4th and 2, 4th and 1, when they need like 2 yards, and it was like Nick Mullins under center, and you're just like, I need like the running back just to get these 2 yards. Kyle Shanahan couldn't find a play. I mean, they tried a lot of different things, I remember, during the middle of the season that just wouldn't work. Their short yardage offense sucked. And at the end of the season, I think their best play in that short yardage situation was like fullback dives with Kyle Juszczyk. Like,
yes,
we would get to that point and we would know, oh yeah, Kyle Juszczyk's getting this ball and he's just gonna like ram it in for 2 yards. And I think Trey Sermon brings that violent physical style in those short yardage situations where you can just be like, all right, Trey Sermon, like, line it up, we need these 3 yards, like, let's get the big boys in there, let's get Kyle Juszczyk in there, let's get Trey Lance in there hopefully, and let's just get these 2 yards. And so I do think he could be that good, you know, short yardage back, goal line back that Jeff Wilson has been in the past. And yeah, I do agree with you that Mostert and Wilson are probably on their way out. I think this was, I know a lot of people complained, at least I saw on social media, that why would the 49ers take two running backs? Why would they trade up for one? Well, you got to think big picture, right? It's not all about this season. You know, Raheem Mostert, Jeff Wilson, the contracts are, you know, one-year deals. And so you got to think big picture. And so Niners made a big picture move here with these two guys. They said those guys were at the top of their boards at the time. And I'm good with that. I like the big picture thinking.
And you mentioned the power game. And I look at the other picks, Aaron Banks and Jalen Moore, two huge, huge offensive linemen who I think are both going to be guards, at least initially. And that was my thinking, was maybe the Niners are looking to be able to transition a little bit to more of a power game with Sermon in there. And you, Trey Lance is definitely going to get carries, I think, goal line and short yardage especially. Yep. In fact, I think especially early, that's all Kyle Shanahan will use him for, running the ball. I think he's going to want to control that. And I see those two offensive linemen that they picked, and I'm like, okay, we could get a little bit of smash mouth in here. Kind of reminded me of like the Jim Harbaugh type of picks.
Yeah, no, I agree. Because usually Kyle Shanahan, so in a zone running scheme, you want a more athletic guy who can move really well to make those blocks on the second level in the run game. But usually when you get a more athletic, slender guy, you get a guy that's smaller. And a guy that gets pushed around in pass pro. And so naturally the example that comes to mind is Mike McGlinchey, right? He's the prototypical zone scheme guy where, yes, he's fantastic in the run game. He's athletic. Joe Staley kind of fits this mold too. And then in the pass game, McGlinchey, just given the fact that he's a little smaller, just gets pushed around a little bit. And so what the Niners do, they said, okay, yeah, we need to get a little beefed up on the interior. We've been getting pushed around in that spot. So they go out and get Jalen Moore, right, on day three, I believe, and then they get Aaron Banks in the second round. So two massive guards who I think played at least Moore, I think played tackle, but he doesn't have the arm length to play tackle at the next level. I think he'll play guard as well. So both these guys slot in as guards. They would be the picks that I question a little bit, just because offensive, those guys need a little bit more development. They're not as plug and play. And it's one of those things where it's not like you rotate starters like you do with receivers or backs. So those guys will be more developmental. And so we'll see what their type of impact is. But generally, I feel like the 49ers in recent memory have just kind of whiffed on offensive line picks. And I don't know why that is, but kind of a little hesitant. Hopefully it works out. I get the mindset again, trying to beef up the interior of the offensive line to help out in pass pro. But yeah, no, I just question whether those guys are the right guys or not.
All they got to do is go 1 for 2. I don't care if it's Banks. I don't care if it's Moore. Just get one starter out of it. One guy that can at least line up and just be consistent. I think it would just help the offensive line. I think it would help McGlinchey, who, Elaine, let's face it, he needs a little help there. But part of that is being able to gain chemistry with the guys around you.
Good point.
All they got to do is get 1 out of 2 of these picks right. I mean, you would hope that they're both good, but let's be realistic here.
Yeah, no, I agree. And Aaron Banks, I think, is going to start at right guard. I presume that's where he slots in, which means Dan Brunskill will kind of be this rotational player wherever there's injuries or if they need a backup somewhere, whatever, which there just tends to be, right? It's hard to keep 5 offensive linemen healthy throughout the year, and Brunskill's shown versatility, and he's this good Swiss Army knife. So hopefully Banks is that player, and obviously him and McGlinchey have the Notre Dame connection. McGlinchey kind of pounded the table for him, which also was like, okay.
Yeah, right. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Yeah, exactly. I was like, he's probably a high-level guy, whatever. But, you know, whenever players are pounding the table for a guy that went to a school, I, like, question, like, what the reasoning behind it is. And I know Lynch and Shanahan brought it up during their press conference. But, yeah, I wonder what other positions they would have targeted in that second round, because I know they traded back. And right before they traded back, I think someone moved up to take a tackle. Is that right?
Yeah, the Dolphins took Liam Eichenberg, I think, right?
That's right. That's right. And so I wonder if that was a guy they were targeting potentially, and then they were like, oh, and then move back to get Aaron Banks, which is usually what happens in these trade back situations.
What about Sean Coleman? Do you think he has any future with the Niners? Because he was supposed to be like the swing tackle, and then he got hurt and he opted out. What do you think his status is? Is he part of the picture?
I don't even know what he looks like, to be honest. He hasn't played in so long. I mean, he hasn't been on the team in 2 seasons, but he was really good in 2017 when he was in that swing tackle role. Yet then he got hurt, like you mentioned. Then he opted out because of COVID, and now it's like it's a snowball effect, right? And now that he's got competition at that position, I do think he has a chance. Typically, they carry, what, 8 linemen? So you have 5 starters and like 3 backups. I'd imagine those guys would be Brunskill, McKivitz, who was their 5th-round pick last year, and then it'll be one of Coleman and Jalen Moore would be the 8th guy. And if they end up carrying 9 because of, you know, different roster battles elsewhere, then I would assume Coleman or Moore is the 9th guy. So, yeah, it's going to be an interesting battle at offensive line as well. I do think they did a good job just adding depth on along the interior, like we mentioned earlier, and hopefully it's not as big of a problem as it was last year in pass protection, because it was ugly at times along the inside. So moving along from the draft to some post-draft comments. So friend of the pod at The Athletic, Michael Lombardi, had some comments to make. As you guys well know, he had said some comments before the draft that Justin Fields wasn't going to go at pick 3. He was right about that. He also made some comments that he was convinced that the 49ers were taking Michael Mac Jones, and then they had pivoted at the last minute to Trey Lance. And we have the full audio soundbite of what he said yesterday.
We don't have the soundbite, but I can read it.
Okay, go for it.
He said, quote, "I'm not buying it was Trey Lance all along. Anybody you talk to in the NFL that has sources, they aren't buying that either. San Francisco can say it was Trey all along. That's a crock of crap. They traded up to get Mac Jones, and the outside pressure became really bad."
Crock of crap. I really love that. That's a line. I'm going to steal that. So I know 49ers fans were just having a field day with this. They were just going after Michael Lombardi and questioning his sources and all that kind of stuff. I do think he's not completely wrong. So, yes, the part where he talks about that Trey Lance was their guy from day one, I do think that's kind of a crock of crap to some extent. And of course, teams post-draft are going to, you know, kind of put out the narrative that the guy that they took is the guy that they wanted the entire time, especially at you know, number 3 in the first round. Like, you know who's going 1 and 2, so like that's your guy. And you're going to sell that story. He's your franchise quarterback. You want to make him feel wanted. You want Trey Lance to feel the love. You're going to say, we fell in love with him like immediately as soon as we turned on the tape. Like, I watched one game and I was in. All that stuff. Now, is that entirely true? I don't know. I don't think so. I do not believe that Trey Lance was QB1 on the 49ers board from the get-go. I'm not saying this because I thought Justin Fields was going to be the pick. I don't think he was QB1 either, but I do believe if I had to rank the 49ers board, it would have gone Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Justin Fields, and then Mac Jones. That would just be my opinion on how their board would have gone. So really, he was QB3. And I think the person that they fell in love with originally in this process, like they've mentioned multiple times, was Zach Wilson, not Trey Lance. And unfortunately, he was going to go number 2 to the Jets. The Jets weren't going to trade out of that pick. So then the Niners had to pivot a little bit, and then they really dove into Trey Lance, Justin Fields, and they ultimately chose Trey Lance was the better prospect than Justin Fields. And we'll see if that's the case in another 5-10 years. But I do think it's a crock of crap that Trey Lance was the guy all along, and they fooled everybody, and Trey Lance was really their QB1 and all that kind of stuff. I don't buy that. But I think Lombardi is wrong where he brings up Mac Jones and says that they pivoted last minute because of societal pressure. Like, no one gives a crap about Twitter. No one gives a crap about social media. Like, especially like coaches and front office guys. Like, if you're making your decision based off of what like fans on social media say, like, that's a problem. Like, we've got an issue. So I do think that's BS. So he's half right. But what do you think of what he said?
It pissed me off. I'm not going to lie. Like, I saw it and immediately fired off a tweet. You know, there's that old saying, if you listen to the fans, you'll soon be sitting among them. Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, this is their NFL career, at least their career in San Francisco. Like, this pick is it. If it doesn't work out, they're gone. You really think, Michael Lombardi, that they're going to change that because there might be some angry tweets? Like, give me a break. I think that all of this is about the fact that everybody pegged Mac Jones to the 49ers. The Niners never did anything to correct it, so they all went with it. And then when the Niners didn't pick him, They all don't want to look like they got it wrong, so they're trying to hedge their bets and say, well, they really did like Mac Jones, like we said, and then at the very end, they changed their mind, so all these people in the media don't look like they got it wrong. That's honestly what I feel like this is, and by the way, it's May now. Who cares? It's over. It doesn't matter who was their top choice when the trade was made and who they like now. Trey Lance is on the team. The pick is made. Justin Fields is in Chicago. Mac Jones is in New England, and we move on from here.
Yeah, this past week has felt like a lot of arguing about like the people that originally wanted Trey Lance are like, ha, see, we told you. And the people that wanted Justin Fields and then now are obviously pivoting. And it's like, it's just this constant argument, I feel like, among 49ers fans and the media, whatever. And it's like, okay, let's take a step back. Trey Lance is on the team. They've made the pick, like you said. They traded 3 ones to go get this guy. That cost does not matter anymore, in my opinion. Like, if Trey Lance hits, he's a superstar quarterback. No one gives a rat's ass about those first round picks. If he fails, he fails. Like, that's it. And then the other thing is this like argument of like who was number one and like when in the process did their mind change. Like, none of that shit matters anymore. Like, they made the pick. He's the guy. Like, it's over. Let's move on. Let's talk about the next thing. But people, yeah, continue to like resurface this theory. And it's like, if you just admitted you were wrong or if you just don't talk about it, it'll just go away. But the more you bring it up, then the more it just kind of stays, right? So, yeah, that's our thoughts with thoughts on his comments. Moving along.
Can I give you, before we move on, can I give you a little credit?
Sure. I know.
I have a sheet. I have a Google spreadsheet of all of the predictions that the 49ers podcasters have made, because I don't like when stuff just disappears into the atmosphere. If we are going to make a prediction, let's keep track and see how we do. So January 27th, I got predictions from all the Niners Nation podcasters on where all these quarterbacks were going to go. Deshaun Watson, Stafford, Lance, Wilson, Fields. And I give you credit, Akash, because on January 27th, not only did you predict that Jimmy Garoppolo would be with the 49ers, you also had Trey Lance with the 49ers. You nailed it months before the trade, months before anything. Congratulations.
So, yes, I did say that, but the only reason I said that is because I thought Trey Lance was going to be the only guy that was going to be there at 12. I didn't really think they'd take Mac Jones because they have a player similar on the roster. So I said, okay, if Trey Lance is on the board, they'll take him. They'll pair him with Jimmy G, and they'll just roll with that. But then it became clear in the months since that I was an idiot and that Trey Lance wasn't going to be there at 12. He was going to be gone in like the top five. He was way better than I thought he would be. And then I obviously pivoted to Justin Fields because I thought he was a better player. And so it went on from there. But so that's why I didn't really, you know, puff my chest out about that. I saw that. Someone sent me a message about it actually last week after the pick. And you're like, hey, you were right. And I was like, no, I'm not.
No, don't do that. Take the credit. Come on, man.
See, nah. See, I'm not like one of the big time media guys that's just looking for credit. You know, we're all just about analysis and having fun. And so, yeah, you know, in big picture of the thing we've talked about, who cares about being right or wrong? Like, we make 1,000 predictions. Most of the time, you're going to be wrong. Like, it's the nature of the game. I don't think there's anything wrong with it, as long as it's backed with like legitimate analysis and your like critical thinking abilities and all that kind of stuff. Then who cares if you're right or wrong? Like, it's fine.
Are you going to say that about your Jeff Wilson, Raheem Mostert prediction from the same day?
What'd I say?
You predicted that Jeff Wilson will have more snaps than Raheem Mostert in 2021.
Interesting. Yeah. We'll see. Maybe Trey Sermon has more than both.
I was just going to say, yeah, we may be wrong just because Sermon now.
Moving along. So to talk about the 49ers' current QB1, Kyle Shanahan did state that Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be the starter, at least heading into training camp, and we'll see where it goes from there. Jimmy Garoppolo hit the radio waves earlier this week. I think this was his first public speaking appearance since after the season, I believe. I don't think he's spoken since, if I'm not mistaken. So I thought it was interesting. First off, the draft ends and it's like 2 days after, and all of a sudden Jimmy Garoppolo is doing a radio interview. Like, the whole thing seemed just a little too perfect for me, because there's no reason for Jimmy Garoppolo to go speak now. No players are mandated to go speak with the presser or, you know, with the media. Don't have to do a press conference. You're not forced to do any, you know, radio, TV, none of that hits. Yet Jimmy Garoppolo goes on, I think it was like CBS Sports, I believe, right?
And ESPN Radio. He did a bunch.
He did a bunch today. Okay, so he was on a bunch of different radio networks, and I just I just thought it was really interesting because the timing of it all, right? There's no reason for him to go say anything. He can just do his own thing and then show up to training camp. But I feel like he went on and tried to make a point that, hey, he was okay with the Trey Lance pick. The Niners told him everything. He's going to be a great mentor to Trey. He's just going to be a great teammate. He's not going to be what Brett Favre was to Aaron Rodgers, or you know what Aaron Rodgers kind of is doing now to Jordan Love, or just none of that, right? He's not going to be this hostile coworker, and he's really going to bring Trey Lance along. And it all seemed like way too convenient for my taste. What did you think, A, of him having these like different radio interviews, and B, what he said?
So a couple different things. As somebody that's been producing radio shows for a while, I know that it's very possible that he was plugging a product, and he was on what we used to call the car wash, where they would have a product and they would go on a zillion different shows at ESPN. Yep. They would go on SportsCenter and First Take and yada, yada, yada.
George Kittle is the king of that.
Yes. So that's possible. But I also know that even when they have those things lined up, they can and will cancel them in certain circumstances. If there's a controversy with the team, whatever the case may be, if they're just mad, they often cancel them. So I think that it kind of worked out for him that he happened to have this thing arranged, because he's going out and trying to be Mr. Nice Guy, say all the right things. It doesn't matter if Jimmy Garoppolo said, I'm not going to do anything for Trey Lance. He's not my teammate. He's my enemy. He's trying to take my job. It wouldn't change the fact that the 49ers are going to go with Trey Lance. Like, the Jimmy Garoppolo era is fading and fading fast. So he might as well say all the right things, because it's happening whether he wants it to or not.
Yeah, right now he's on a job interview, essentially, is how I look at it, because his potential future employers are watching his every action, whether it's what he says, what his actions are on the field, what his plays like, how he's in the locker room. Like, everything is on every he's being watched right now, basically, is how I look at it, because teams are trying to figure out, OK, what, you know, if I eventually do sign him or trade for him or whatever the case is, what type of guy am I getting? As well as what type of player am I getting, right? After all these injuries, can he stay healthy? All these kind of things. So I think Jimmy Garoppolo is just kind of out there setting the tone, setting the narrative that I'm going to be nice. Like, I'm going to do everything I can to help Trey out. And, you know, the fans are awing and they're all like, oh my God, Jimmy, like all this stuff. And I'm like, okay, everyone's just eating this shit up, right? Which is fine. He's just playing the game, I think. And he's doing a good job of it. But it's not Tom Brady, Jimmy Garoppolo, where he's like a mentor, right? He's 29 years old. He should never be in the situation if he just was healthy and played well. So I don't view this as like some mentor that's like handing off at like the end of his career. I mean, he's only been with the team for like 4 or 5 years, and now all of a sudden he's going to be okay with being replaced. Like, I have a hard time buying that.
Right. That's what I want to see from him. I want to, you know, what would have been cool? I think it would have been like understandable if Jimmy was like, hey, if he wants that job, he's got to come take it from me. Yeah, I've had some injury problems, but when I got in there, we never friggin' lost, and we went all the way to the damn Super Bowl. And this rookie thinks he's going to come and take it from me? Well, guess what? You're not at North Dakota anymore. You're in the big leagues, essentially, and let's see what you got. Like, I kind of want to see a little fire from Jimmy. Give me some of that, you know?
That's
and that
interesting.
That would help maybe get the locker room behind him, too. But this whole, like, I'm here to help you take my job thing, like, that ain't going to help you in the locker room.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think he's kind of moved on and he's looking at like the next opportunity, not necessarily just trying to keep his current job, because he knows that he's not keeping his current job. I've seen replies like, we, you know, the 49ers could keep Jimmy through 2021 and 2022 if he plays well, and then Trey Lance could take over year three or something like that. I'm like, come on, man. Like, give me a fucking break. Trey Lance is going to take over this team at some point this season. Jimmy Garoppolo, like, Godspeed, like, we'll drive you to the airport wherever you got to go, but he's gone at some point, you know, hopefully this season, maybe next season, we'll see. But this notion that Jimmy Garoppolo is going to beat out Trey Lance and is going to somehow keep his job through the season, I have a hard time believing. Because even in the Super Bowl year, even in 2019, don't forget, he had some bad stretches of play, which if he had a legitimate backup behind him, like Trey Lance, he would have gotten pulled. And if he gets pulled and Trey Lance plays well, that's it. There's no more Jimmy Garoppolo time. So I envision a scenario like that this season where he has a bad quarter, a bad half, and boom, they let Trey Lance in. He has a couple spark plays. Then Kyle Shanahan comes in the Monday after during his Monday press conference and says, yep, we're naming Trey Lance a starter. Here we go.
We saw it in 2012.
Yeah.
Colin Kaepernick comes in on that Monday night against Chicago and lights it up. And you knew before that game was over that Alex Smith was not getting back in that game. And here's the other thing that people should realize. Jimmy Garoppolo better not beat out Trey Lance, because if he does, things have gone horribly wrong for the 49ers. If Trey Lance is not good enough to beat out Jimmy Garoppolo, then they've given up 3 first-round picks for a guy that's not that good. Like, and that's trouble.
Yeah, I'll push back on that. And like training camp, like I understand, like if there's no OTAs, if like mini camp is weird, like I could see a scenario where Trey Lance comes in and just struggles a little bit early because his understanding of the playbook isn't as dense as it is for Garoppolo. He doesn't get as many of the first team reps. Like I can see a scenario where in training camp, Trey Lance, like you have Grant Cohn in the parking lot firing off hot takes. Like Trey Lance just went 2 of 8 during this throwing session. He threw like 3 picks to Jason Verrett or something. Like that. I can see that happening because
that would be 2 fewer picks than Jimmy Garoppolo.
That's also true. But Jimmy Garoppolo is a historically bad practice player, and I feel like a lot of fans take this for granted because obviously you don't watch practice most of the time. You don't get like honest reports or whatever because who wants to just shit on a player constantly? But he is a bad practice player, and he has stretches where he just, you're like, oh God. And he's throwing it to the defense. He's just throwing the ball all over the yard. And so I could see a scenario where Trey Lance is a better practice player, but I don't know if it's going to be during training camp, but we'll see.
But if it's close, doesn't the tie go to Trey Lance?
I don't think so. I feel like Kyle Shanahan would give the tie to Jimmy Garoppolo. I feel like he also is at the point where he's just like, I just need to win games. So I wonder if he would just stick with the more experienced guy to start out at least. And then maybe they hit like a easier patch in the schedule. Maybe they've got a couple wins under their belt, something like that. And the situation just arises where they can ease Trey Lance in a little bit rather than just throw him to the wolves. That would be my thing, but we'll see. Only time will tell.
You're probably right, because I think back to when Jimmy got there and they didn't play him right away. They were waiting and waiting and waiting so he could like learn the system. And yeah. So maybe Kyle will kind of apply the same thing. I remember losing my mind after they made that trade. Like, please, can I see this guy in? I do not need to see these trash bag quarterbacks that we have here. And then he comes in against Seattle and throws that touchdown. Oh.
I know the exact same thing is going to happen with Trey Lance and Jimmy Garoppolo. And this season, at least early in the season, when Trey Lance isn't playing, it's going to be exhausting because everyone is going to be on pins and needles. And with every bad Jimmy Garoppolo throw, it's going to be, oh man, we're getting closer to Trey Lance. Like, pull Jimmy. Like, it's going to happen. And it's going to be this constant thing where people are like, be patient with Jimmy Garoppolo. And then there's this other half is like, play Trey Lance. And it's just going to be this constant thing until Trey Lance plays. And I know it's coming. I can see it already from like a mile away. But yeah, it's that exact scenario that you mentioned when Jimmy Garoppolo, was a 49er in 2017. Everyone wants the new, shiny, bright thing to play with. No one wants the old, damaged thing to play with. So not saying Jimmy Garoppolo's damaged, but, you know. So I do think that sentiment among fans and even media, I think, is going to exist early in the season.
The dream scenario, really, I would imagine, is for the 49ers, let's say, if you believe what they've been saying publicly, Jimmy starts kind of similar to what happened with Alex Smith, right? Jimmy starts, he gets hurt maybe early in the year. They bring in Trey Lance, like a Tony Romo, Dak Prescott situation. Lance lights it up, and then they can just keep going with Lance. And it, like, no one really got benched, and like there are no bad guys in that scenario, right? It's like, well, we threw this guy in here because we had to, and he set the world on fire, so we had no choice but to keep him in. And then the 49ers can talk about how good of a mentor Jimmy is, and then, you know, put him on a nice flow and put him out to pasture.
Yeah, best case scenario, some other team's starter gets hurt, and they can just trade Jimmy Garoppolo, training camp, preseason, something like that, and they just let it go. That's, you know, Carson Wentz. What was
Sam
his name?
Bradford.
Sam Bradford style, right? That would be ideal. Carson Wentz, also a North Dakota State guy, so maybe. And then the worst case scenario is you bench Jimmy Garoppolo for Trey Lance, and then Trey Lance comes in and isn't very good. And like that's when you'd be like, oh my God. That's when like the Grant Cones, again, of the world, you'll just, the takes will go like in 80 different directions, and people will be like, is Kyle Shanahan on the hot seat? Is he going to get fired after trading away 3 first round picks? So that's the worst case scenario. I don't see that happening, but you know, we got to give both ends of the spectrum to be fair.
especially if Justin Fields and Mac Jones get in and light it up. Like, that is even worse because all those guys are going to be linked forever.
Yeah, yeah. And especially, I think, Trey Lance and Justin Fields, because I think Mac Jones, no one will ever truly hold Kyle Shanahan for like, oh, man, you passed up on Mac Jones. He ended up being really good. Whatever. I think everyone will kind of universally understand. But if Justin Fields ends up being better than Trey Lance, especially in Chicago where the situation isn't as stable and his coaching staff and front office are kind of like on the hot seat, like that'll be really, really impressive and something that you know, will be monitored. They'll be linked like Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes. I know both those guys are viewed as like top five guys, at least Watson before all this off the field stuff was. And so neither team is like, whatever, like we've got a top five guy, it's fine. Ideally, that would be the case for the 49ers. Both guys top five, like you could have gone with either, it would have been okay, great, like perfect.
That's why I really want to see how the schedule unfolds when it comes out. What is it? I think May 12th when the schedule comes out.
Yeah,
the Niners play the Bears this year. And I want it to be Lance against Fields. That would be, I mean, how much fun would that be, Akash? You literally could have the two guys that were debated playing against each other year one. You know Justin Fields is going to want to stick it to Kyle Shanahan.
Oh, I would love that. I would love to see Justin Fields stick it to the 49ers, partially because I just love Justin Fields throughout this pre-draft process. And I know he's been a little miffed about dropping all the way to 11 when a lot of people thought he was going to go 2. So, and that's a huge difference in cash and just reputation and all that kind of stuff, right? So I would love to see that. There's a ton of interesting matchups. I think Trey Lance, Trevor Lawrence could be a potential matchup. Trey Lance, Carson Wentz, the North Dakota State guys could be a matchup. Obviously, Trey Lance, Joe Burrow, you know, top three picks from, you know, different years. Then obviously Trey Lance, Justin Fields. Ton of interesting matchups this season. I'm interested to see how the schedule folds out, just like you said, so we can see where these games are. And hopefully they're like later on in the season so that Trey Lance is actually playing and he's not just watching. Like, no one wants to see Justin Fields versus Jimmy Garoppolo.
Right. Exactly. Who cares about that? Who's excited about that? You know who's excited about it? The Bears, because they think, hey, maybe we could win that game.
Yeah, I'm sure TV networks would eat it up. Could you imagine Trey Lance, Justin Fields, Sunday night at Soldier Field in Chicago? Like, that would be billed as like one of the top games. Like, two rookie quarterbacks. These guys are highly debated in this class.
Yep.
It would just be one of those awesome games. And then the same thing with Trevor Lawrence, Trey Lance. Obviously, I'm not sure if Jacksonville holds up as a brand compared to Chicago, but that would also be a fun game to watch, I think. Urban versus Kyle. And so a lot of interesting matchups. We'll get into that in 2 weeks when the Shannon Plan podcast talks about the schedule release. That's all I've got. Rob, you got anything else for today?
I got nothing else. Start Trey Lance from week one. Stop all this foolishness and do not let Jimmy Garoppolo into the building once the season starts. Just do whatever you need to stop 10 from getting in.
Oh, man. Yeah, so I've been working on watching Trey Lance, charting his throws, going through his accuracy and all the different phases of the areas of the field. So we're like 3 games through. It's been fun. Trey Lance is a really good, quick game passer. His deep accuracy, his intermediate accuracy is kind of hit or miss, in my opinion. But Kyle Shanahan believes that that's fixable and correctable. But he just knows where to go with the ball. Like, he just drops back, and then it's usually just, boom, the ball's out. It's always on time, on schedule, and I think that's what Kyle Shanahan really, really appreciated about him. Honestly, and people are going to hate this, his charting profile looks a lot similar to Jimmy Garoppolo's in terms of he throws a lot of these, you know, 0-5 passes that are accurate, and then it's kind of hit or miss as it goes, you know, further down the field. And 49ers are hoping that with his athleticism, arm strength, his age, like that'll all just get corrected. And obviously with his processing of the game, that he'll just be a superstar player. So look for that on NinersNation.com. That's all I've got. As usual, we appreciate you guys for tuning in and listening. Subscribe, rate, drop a review wherever you're listening to this podcast. We also hope to do more live streams. So also subscribe to the Niners Nation page on YouTube, where some of the other podcasts, as well as the Shannon Plan podcast, will start to do live streams where you can just watch and drop comments live. So that's all I've got, and go Niners.